Genesis chapter 1. We're going to have quite a lot of Bible tonight, and we're going to do a sweeping overview of the place of creation and therefore the environment in God's plan and therefore where it should be in our thinking. And so we're going to start at the beginning with Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through to 2, verse 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the lands that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it, according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years, and let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea, and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the air over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food, and all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw that God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And you'll probably be aware that Adam and Eve didn't follow God's commands. They ate the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, sent out of the garden. Things got very, very messy, and they got messier still. And then there was the flood. And Noah was found to be the only man who was anything like righteous in his generation. And so the flood has receded, and we pick up the story of God's environment in Genesis chapter 8, verse 13. By the first day of the first month of Noah's 601st year, the water had dried up from the earth. Noah then removed the covering from the ark and saw that the surface of the ground was dry. By the 27th day of the second month, the earth was completely dry. Then God said to Noah, "Come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring out every kind of living creature that is with ye, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number on it." So Noah came out, together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, all the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground, and all the birds, everything that moves on land, came out of the ark, one kind after another. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. The fear and dread of ye will fall on all the beasts of the earth and on all the birds in the sky, on every creature that moves along the ground and on all the fish in the sea. They are given into your hands. Everything that lives and moves about will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything. But you must not eat meat that has lifeblood in it still. This is the word of the Lord. I'm going to get you to do some work now. Before I say a bit more, a question's going to come up on the screen there, and why not break into groups of 2, 3, 4, or maybe you want to think about it by yourself, that's absolutely fine if you do. And the question is this: taking into account what we've read so far, how do you think we should relate to the natural world around us that God has created? Anybody want to give a headline as to what you're talking about? But 2 or 3 words? No more than that. Wave your hand up high in the air and around a lot so I can see you. Anybody want to say anything? No? I heard some good conversations. Subdue the creation. Thank you, Paul. Yep, thank you. Yes. Made for us to enjoy, thank you. Made for us to enjoy and therefore we should look after it. I think we've probably all given small children a present that the first thing they do is jump on it. Well, trampoline, yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you very much. Okay, so do you have those Bible passages to hand? We're not going to go through them verse by verse. We're very much doing a thematic tonight. So the first thing I think that we notice is that God created the world. There are lots of debates as to whether God created in 7 24-hour days or whether God created in an ordered way, but not necessarily in 7 24-hour periods of time. The most important thing to take from Genesis chapter 1 is that God created. You can't miss that, can you? It falls off the page, jumps out at you, that God created those things. And that means that because he created it, it's good. Creation is good. So yes, we know creation is fallen, but creation is also good. God made creation, and the thing he made is good. In fact, did you notice at the end of the sixth day, God said it was very good. Very good. Good, 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 very good. You can't miss that God thinks that his creation that is his is a good thing. A good thing. So it's his and it's very good. Secondly, God put humans in his creation. And humans come at the end of the account of creating, don't they? They come on the sixth day. It's almost like the canvas is created first and then it's populated. And then the pinnacle of God's creation, humanity, is made and put on creation. I don't know whether you've noticed in the ether out there in the world over the last 2 or 3 years, there's been this undercurrent that humans are a bad thing for creation and that the world would be great if it wasn't for those pesky humans, to misquote Scooby-Doo. But God made human beings as the pinnacle of his creation. Why did he create them? Look with me at Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Genesis 1, 28. God blessed the man and the woman and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it." So there's some various instructions there, aren't there? First of all, be fruitful. Be a good thing on the earth. Fill it. So be fruitful and fill it. Increase in number. Have more. Have babies. Be self-replicating. Make sure there's lots of ye. Why do we need lots of us? Well, we need lots of us in order to subdue the earth. What does subdue mean? Well, to subdue something is to calm it down, isn't it? It's to bring it into order. So in the same way that God created in order, God created an ordered world, so we are put under him to rule the earth in an ordered way and to keep it in good order, to subdue the earth. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Rule over it. We are in charge of creation under the given authority of God. God is over us, and he has put us to rule over the earth. We are his ambassadors, his regents over the earth. Rule over it under him. I don't know if you noticed that again in Genesis chapter 8 as well. Or was it the beginning of chapter 9? Sorry. Where are we? Genesis chapter 9. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. It's the same command recapitulated, isn't it? Said again. Be fruitful, increase, fill the earth. The fear and dread of ye will fall on all the beasts of the earth. You can see, can't you, there, that things aren't quite right. Things are never right after the fall. But the people God has made are still in charge of his creation under the authority that God ultimately has. Rule over everything. And as somebody said, I think it was Liz, that it's not just the plants that we're given to eat, it's meat as well. And who doesn't like a good steak? And if you don't like a good steak, I bet you like a good bacon sandwich. So, God created the world. It's his. It's very good. God put humans in his creation to fill it, to subdue it, and to rule over it under him. But creation is more than just a thing in which we live. It's more than just that. Creation also speaks of God's glory. Turn with me to Psalm 19. Page 552 or thereabouts, depending which Bible you have there. Psalm 19, verse 1. For the director of music, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. It's almost like creation shouts aloud of the glory of God. that creation reflects the glory of its creator. Creation speaks of God's glory. When we consider the natural world, we should praise God, shouldn't we? We should note that these wonderful things that God has made reflect his glory. Its existence reveals God's existence. The existence of creation reveals the existence of the Creator. It's a bit of a Christian trope, isn't it? To say that how on earth could all of this amazing stuff... Have we got a problem with the screen? Or it looks all funny there. There we go, that's it. It's a bit of a Christian trope, isn't it? To say that all of these amazing things, if you think about the size of the universe, the enormity of it, down to the minuscule size of an atom, and everything in between with its complexity, the human eye, just remarkable things. They didn't just come into being, did they? When we consider the natural world, we should praise God because he made it. And its existence reveals God's existence. Creation speaks of God's glory. Turn back with me to Job. We don't often go to Job, do we? Job chapter 38. It's the book before Psalms. You want page 538. I'm going to read Job 38, 22 to 38, and then chapter 40, verses 1 to 5. And just pick up on the glory and the majesty of God as revealed through his creation. Job 38, verse 22. And God is talking to Job. Have you entered the storehouses of the snow or seen the storehouses of the hail, which I reserve for times of trouble, for days of war and battle? What is the way to the place where the lightning is dispersed, or the place where the east winds are scattered over the earth? Who cuts a channel for the torrents of rain and a path for the thunderstorm? To water a land where no one lives, an uninhabited desert, to satisfy a desolate wasteland and make it sprout with grass? Does the rain have a father? Who fathers the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice? Who gives birth to the first? To the frost from the heavens. When the waters become hard as stone, when the surface of the deep is frozen, can you bind the chains of the Pleiades? Can you loosen Orion's belt? Can you bring forth the constellations in their seasons, or lead out the bear with its cubs? Do you know the laws of the heavens? Can you set up God's dominion over the earth? Can you raise your voice to the clouds and cover yourself with a flood of water? Do you send the lightning bolts on their way? Do they report to you, here we are? Who gives the ibis its wisdom, or gives the cockerel understanding? Who has the wisdom to count the clouds? Who can tip over the water jars of the heavens when the dust becomes hard and the clods of earth stick together? Obviously, the answer is no, Job can't, but only God can, because his majesty is shown in the majesty of creation. Turn with me to chapter 40. Chapter 40, verse 1. The Lord said to Job, Will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who accuses him answer him. Then Job answered the Lord, I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I will say no more. Job's reminded of the glory of God as God shows his majesty and his power through his creation. Creation has an end point in future history. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3, page 1223. Peter writes, Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Saviour through your apostles. Above all, you must understand that in the last day, scoffers will come scoffing and following their evil desires. They'll say, Where is this coming? He promised. Ever since the ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Indeed, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you're looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. Did you pick up on that? Peter is absolutely clear, isn't he, that this creation will come to an end. Yes, it's good. Yes, God made it, but it will come to an end. So looking after this creation that God has made, doing our best to look after it is a good thing because it's his. We've been put in it to look after it, to subdue it, to make sure that it runs, to rule over it well. But we must remember that one day this creation will end at a point in history. Jesus will return. This creation will end then at that point, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Very easy, wouldn't it, to think that the biggest thing we need to do, apart from tell people about Jesus, is to expend all of our energy in looking after the world that we live in. And yes, we do need to look after the world we live in. All the way from the old Keep Britain Tidy posters you used to get, through to making sure that the air is clean today. But We need to do that in the context of knowing that this creation will come to an end. The world has made such an idol out of the world, hasn't it? Creationism, not creationism, environmentalismism, the worship of the environment is a big thing. Yes, we need to look after it, but God is God, not the creation he's made. And this creation will come to an end. And after this creation's come to an end, it will be glorious. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. God said there's going to be a new heaven and earth, didn't he? Here's a description of it. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night, and they will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they'll reign forever and ever. We could expend so much energy, couldn't we, in overdoing it with looking after this world. Yes, we need to look after it. We need to look after creation. But there is going to be one day a wonderful new creation when everything will be as it should be, where there won't be any climate crises or any other crisis for that matter. There'll be nothing, not even a rumour of it. Because all things will be made new and unbreakable. The creation that so many people seem to want to be making on this earth, in this world, will be made for us after Jesus returns and makes all things new. We can't do that here. We're called to rule over God's creation and do the best we can. We can't make it perfect. We won't make it perfect. But one day, God will recreate and will make all things perfect. So what's the Christian view of the environment then? Well, it's God, so look after it. But don't make an idol of it. Love living in it. He's given it to us to enjoy. Enjoy it. Don't spoil it. Look forward to that creation, the new creation, that will never spoil, will never be damaged, and that we won't even have to look after, because God will have made it perfect forever. Let me pray. Our Father, thank you for your good creation. Thank you that you've made things wonderful for us today. But one day we will be in your perfect new creation, where all things will be absolutely as it should be. Please help us, Father, to look after what you've given us. Please help us to do our bit to make sure that our bit of the world is ruled well under your authority given to us. But please would you save us from idolatry. Save us from thinking that our sole purpose in life is to make the world a better place. Please remind us that our purpose in life is to worship you, to look at what creation points to, and not to look at your creation as an end in itself. Please, Father, forgive us when we've gone off the track or either direction on that, where we've either not cared or where we have created an idol. When we look at the world, please would we praise you for your creation? Would we see your glory revealed through the wonder of the natural world? And please, Father, would you keep us trusting in you, not trusting in any organizations to make the environment better? Please keep us trusting in you above all things. And please would you help us to honor your name in the way we live on our spot of the creation you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.